And it's 9 minutes after 5 o'clock on WJBC and WJBC.com. I'm Sam Wood. You're listening to the Afternoon Report. Pleasure, as always, to have you along. Also, very cool to welcome to the show this afternoon, Rick Steves, writer, author, activist, television personality. You may have seen his work on the PBS docu-travel series, Rick Steves Europe. Also, as a public radio travel show, Travel with Rick Steves. Rick, welcome to the show, sir. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Sam. It's good to be with you, too.
Yeah, you were in Illinois today. You were at Chicago at a joint committee testimony, basically, on how legalization in other states, legalization of marijuana, that has led to business and economic growth and what legalization might mean for Illinois. Rick, what did you say to the committees today?
Well, I came to Chicago today because I've got a lot of experience traveling in Europe over basically the last three decades, and I've talked to a lot of people in Europe about drug policy issues. And I happen to live in Washington State, where we have decided to legalize, tax, and regulate the mature adult recreational use of marijuana. We did that in 2012. I was one of the co-sponsors and spokespeople for that law. And I'm very proud of what we did in Washington State, and every couple of years I go on the road to different states that are debating this issue and trying to sort out what they want to do with their drug policy. And I'm very excited now that all of our hunches in 2012 have basically panned out the way we hoped. We decided to take a booming black market in my state, Washington State. Illegal marijuana was rivaling apples as the number one cash crop. And we took that black market, which was empowering and enriching gangs and organized crime, and we essentially turned it into a highly regulated and highly taxed legal market. And now in our state, it employs 26,000 people. It raises over $300 million a year in tax revenue for our state government. And the statistics are in, and the use has basically stayed the same. Teen use has not gone up. DUIs have not gone up. Crime has not gone up. The only thing that's gone up is tax revenue, and we've pretty much stopped a thriving black market, and we took crime out of the equation when it comes to marijuana. Mm.
So the sky did not fall in Washington, is what you're saying.
I look out my window every morning, and it just seems like a beautiful place where I live. It's hard to tell the difference, except that we're not, it's kind of old news. I was just thinking, you know, it's just not much of a big deal in Washington State anymore, because we've put that behind us. Now, you know, if all of a sudden youths would go through the ceiling and there'd be all sorts of danger on the road and kids would be, you know, getting sucked into more serious drug problems, that'd be a whole different story. But it's pretty clear that, there's not a reservoir of decent people who would love to ruin their lives smoking pot if only it was legal. We've learned that people who want to smoke pot do smoke pot. And there's no society that I've ever encountered in the United States or elsewhere where there's any correlation between consumption and how strict the laws are. It's a little counterintuitive, and I think you're going to have a lot of discussion that here in Illinois as you move toward legalizing this black market. But I think it's very important to remember most of the opposition points against legalizing here in Illinois are assuming use will go up. People will talk about, oh, it's terrible to have hard drug problems. Well, you've got, as marijuana permeates our society, whether it's illegal or legal. And just because you make it a legal industry, use is not going to go up. And to me, that's pretty fundamental.
Well, that's usually the sentiment I get from a lot of downstate legislators when I ask, you know, what is the barrier for you to support legalized marijuana? And they'll say, well, you know, I've got colleagues in Colorado, and they say there's just all sorts of problems. Usually a very generalized idea of what they think is, legalized marijuana rollout not going as well as maybe they had planned. What were senators and representatives asking you today, Rick, on the subject?
Oh, there is that concern. It's hard to sort through all the statistics, and sure, people can cherry pick their statistics, and you can take 1 month and one county and find that, oh, there was two accidents this week instead of one accident, and say accidents have doubled. They're very good at twisting statistics to make their point, and I'd say both sides of the discussion can be guilty of that. What I like to do is, I'm from Washington State, and our governor was elected the same day that we legalized marijuana in 2012. He really had no interest in this issue, really, and suddenly he's the governor of the first state in the country to legalize, and 4 years later, Governor Inslee is on board. He's very appreciative of this law. He supports it, and he's thankful he's not arresting 8 or 10,000 people a month, and he's certainly thankful to have $300 million of tax revenue each year. You know, a great thing about the tax revenue is you earmark it for different programs, and I think all the states that I know about have carved out a certain amount of the revenue that is generated by legalizing marijuana to fund drug education programs and prevention programs and so on. And now we can really be smarter about drug abuse challenges that face us. I think everybody would agree that drugs are not good for you. They can be abused. I'm certainly recognizing that. And what I think we need to do is have credibility with parents and teachers and cops when it comes to teaching young people about the dangers of drug abuse. And if they're just parroting this reefer madness propaganda, the kids tune out. In Colorado, the Colorado Department of Public Health, that's the state or organization that overlooks all of this stuff, has just put out a paper in October of this year. And they find that adolescent use of marijuana has actually gone down a little bit. So, you know, you'll hear isolated statistics about this and that people throw around when they're opposing legalizing marijuana. But I've been dealing with the opposition to legalizing marijuana now for three different election cycles. And it's always interesting to me who's funding all of this opposition. And it's generally what I call the PPP, the Pot Prohibition Profiteers. There's a lot of people that make a lot of money because marijuana is illegal. And you've got to understand who's motoring the opposition. And in my experience, it's generally organizations that would rather keep the drug illegal and make money off of the fact that it is illegal.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Rick, we're talking with Rick Steves this afternoon, host of PBS travel series Rick Steves Europe, also a public radio host of Travel with Rick Steves. And Rick, I know you've been involved in advocacy with marijuana legalization for a while. You're on NORML's board of director. That's the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. But How did this come to be? I think a lot of people, when I mentioned, I mean, even today, for example, I said I've got Rick Steves on the show, and he's talking about his testimony in support of legalized marijuana, and they were kind of like, wait a second, I had no idea he was an advocate. How did this come to be?
That nice guy I see on public television? What? Well, people think, when they hear that out of the blue stem, they think, oh, he's a pothead? I didn't know that. But it's not about smoking pot. It's about civil liberties. It's about ending a very costly prohibition in our society. And it's a racist prohibition as well. Mm-hmm. I'm really disturbed. I'm very concerned about the racism that's tied up into our prohibition against marijuana. I remember years ago when I was going around Washington State raising awareness of this issue, and our law enforcement was following me and listening to my lectures, and they had this one wonderful man who I became friends with, Sergeant Meehan, and he was, you know, opposed to legalizing marijuana. That's what they're supposed to do. And one day we had dinner, actually, and we were walking out of the dinner, and we had in a moment of candor, Sergeant Meehan said, "Rick, you're a comfortable white guy in suburban Seattle. You could smoke with discretion for the rest of your life and never have any problem. Why are you so passionate about this issue?" And it occurred to me, that's one of the reasons I'm so passionate about this. Rich white guys are not getting arrested. It's poor people and it's black people. This is a horrible thing. There's 70,000 Americans in jail today for nonviolent marijuana offenses. Even now, with 6 or 8 states having legal marijuana as part of their tourism industry, we have 700,000 arrests a year in this country. And again, they're poor people and people of color, and now those people can't get a job, they can't get a loan, they can't get into school. This is a very serious problem in our country. And as I said, we have a track record now. It's clear. Use does not go up. DUIs don't go up. Very important, teen use does not go up. It is proven that the only thing gateway about marijuana is the fact that when it's illegal, you got to buy it from somebody, a criminal on the street, who's certainly not going to card minors, and somebody who has a vested interest in selling you something more addictive and more profitable. We're beyond that now in Washington State, and it's something that we're becoming quite comfortable with. And as I said earlier, it's just kind of old news.
Right.
California legalized last year, and that's a very big deal. in the movement towards breaking down the federal prohibition against marijuana. Mm-hmm. You know, the states, Sam, are considered, they're designed to be incubators of change.
Right.
When the federal government has a law that's not wise, it's not going to just come out one day and say, oh, sorry, let's not do that anymore. But state by state, different states will try better solutions, and eventually the right answer will become apparent. And that's how we ended the prohibition against alcohol back in the 1930s, and that's how we're ending the prohibition against marijuana in our generation. And back in the 30s, people finally didn't say, oh, booze is good. No, they said the law against it is causing more harm to our society than the alcohol consumption itself, and they decided to have a more pragmatic and smarter and effective approach to alcohol, which is to recognize people are going to drink booze, let's regulate the heck out of it and tax it. Mm-hmm. And you can't wish it away. Marijuana is going to happen. It's happening now. It's going to happen tomorrow. It can be a criminal thing, or we can regulate it. And I believe that it's better for children and young people if you take the crime out of the equation. That's why in Washington State, our law to legalize, tax, and regulate marijuana was endorsed by the Children's Alliance. Mm-hmm. These are 100 groups in our state dedicated to the safety and well-being of children. Some of the key legislative sponsors of our bill were legislators in our state who had built their reputation on children's issues and health issues and safety issues, and they know that the most dangerous thing about marijuana is the fact that it's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
The NAACP endorsed us, and the NAACP knows how drugs have ravaged the black community, and they realize that the most dangerous thing about marijuana for the black community is the fact that it's illegal. Therefore, they endorsed our legalized tax and regulate marijuana law.
Mm-hmm.
I find it's a very interesting issue. And I've learned a lot from Europe. In Europe, they understand the connection between hard drugs and education and an enlightened society. In Europe, the word for addicted is enslaved. People who are addicted to hard drugs are not criminals. They shouldn't be treated like criminals. They're sick people. They don't need cops and judges and lawyers. They need counselors and nurses and a little compassion. And Europe is doing a much better job in its opioid challenges than we are here in the United States. I think the two countries in Europe that have the most liberal and progressive laws about marijuana, Portugal and the Netherlands, the origin of those liberal laws about marijuana actually go back to those countries fighting very serious opioid addiction problems.
Yeah.
And they decided to take the marijuana out of the equation, get mm-hmm. credibility, and focus on the hard drugs that were ravaging their society, and they're very thankful they did now, a decade or two later.
Well, that's, and you mentioned Portugal and the Netherlands. In Portugal, I mean, they undertook a pretty bold move, right? They outright legalized, to an extent, or at least decriminalized all drugs, and instead of typical sentences, they would send people to treatment.
In Portugal, they legalized the consumption of all drugs, hard and soft, because they had this hedonistic fling after the end of their dictator Salazar, as most societies do when they finally win their freedom. They just go crazy, you know? And what came out of that in that little country was a lot of people who were addicted to hard drugs, and they decided to do something really creative and aggressive, and they decided to tackle their opioid problem by legalizing all drugs. And this was pretty radical at the time. And there was the skeptics that said, oh, everybody's going to be smoking pot, and we're going to get a lot of drug tourism and so on. 10 years later, the conservatives that opposed that law in Portugal were in power, and they looked at the statistics, and they realized that marijuana consumption did not go up, drug tourism did not come into the country like they feared, and their hard drug addicted population dropped from 100,000 to 50,000 people. And the conservatives actually saw the wisdom in this progressive approach to drug policy, and they re-upped that law in Portugal. Mm-hmm. And to this day, it's legal for consuming all drugs, hard and soft, in Portugal. It's fascinating to look at these drug challenges that we face here on this side of the Atlantic and people face in Europe, and realize that we need to do more than just say no. We need to do more than legislate morality. We need to be a little bit pragmatic harm reduction in our approach to that. And that's what we're doing in Washington State. That's what we're doing in Colorado. That's what we're doing in Massachusetts, in Maine, and in Oregon, and now in California. These are all the initiative states where you have a hot item that politicians don't want to touch because it might endanger their security in the office. So you put it out in an initiative where people get signatures and vote on it. Now we've sort of exhausted the initiative states, and it's going into the states that don't have that process, like Illinois. And I think politicians are realizing that the people are ahead of the politicians when it comes to this issue. And in Illinois, I believe two-thirds of the population favors this approach to marijuana. And these are not two-thirds of the people that are potheads in this country. This is two-thirds of the people that realize that it's counterproductive to make marijuana a crime, and we should regulate the heck out of it and tax the heck out of it and get rid of that black market and help it stoke our economy. It's a fascinating issue. And again, a lot of politicians are talking like it's 2010 and we didn't know what would happen. It's not. It's 2017 going into 2018, and we know what happens. The sky doesn't fall. And today, the governor of Colorado and the governor of Washington, neither of whom supported this law originally, both see the wisdom in this law, and they both support this law going forward. It is smart to be to get beyond this simple notion of are you hard on drugs or soft on drugs. I think in Colorado and in Washington and coming up in Illinois, we are going to be smart on drugs.
It's a fascinating conversation and far from over here in Illinois. That's Rick Steves, writer, author, activist, host of PBS Travel Doc. Rick Steves, you're up and also on public radio with Travel with Rick Steves. Rick, it's been a fascinating conversation, sir. I am a big fan, so it's been very cool to talk with you this afternoon.
Well, thank you very much, Sam, and happy travels.
Hey, you as well, sir.